is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It's Thursday, and we have a roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy covering some really important topic today, and that is, in the beginning, the how and what of getting started for the uninitiated and those of us out there restarting. Very important show. Second hour, Adele Musa will be joining us to perform the Subversity Science Roundup sniff test to science in the news, and we'll be answering some of your questions during that episode. A couple things. First of all, Way Natural USA is giving away a free sample. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the free sample banner ad today to try the single best grass-fed whey protein powder from Amish grass-fed cows that is not pasteurized. Stuff is really the Cadillac of grass-fed whey protein. Also, if you want to try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch, even though the banner ads are gone, you can call them at 305-788-6604 and say, Carl said you'll give me a free month trial for free. Check it out. What do you have to lose except a couple pounds? Welcome to the show, Coach Johnson.
Great to be with you guys.
And, of course, Coach Regish. Rob, did I lose you? I hate this.
Oops.
Okay. Well, hang on a second. Just give me 1 second, okay? Let's see how fast I can do this. Wait, you there? Okay. Everybody's listening in right now. So here we go. Let me get Rob Regish back on the phone here. Hold on. Would help if I had his phone number handy. Rob is on a cell phone today, and that's probably part of the problem. And I hate doing interviews from cell phones, but it's what we have to do sometimes. And he's not going to answer now. Okay. Wait. Yeah, it's Rob is not answering, and so I don't know what to make of it. So what we're going to do is just bring Coach Johnson back on for now. Hold on a second. Rob is on a cell phone today, and I hate doing interviews from cell phones for this exact reason. We just called and he got dropped, and we called, and we went right into voicemail, so I'm assuming he has bad coverage. But anyway, one of the things I wanted to mention before we get started discussing this topic is an email that I got from a listener, David Elliston, who tried the Phoenix Kinetic Cream. And in a very polite but honest email, he said that he thought it was all BS, just advertising hype on Superhuman Radio, but the product is amazing. It's made pain go away dramatically, very quickly. He said he has a problem believing that cream could have such a profound effect, and was he wrong? So those of you out there sitting on the fence about Phoenix Kinetic Cream, the stuff really, really does work. I use it, and you should too. All right, let's get right to the subject at hand. Coach Johnson, the uninitiated and the restarter have very, very unique challenges when they're getting back into this. Especially from the standpoint of the restarter has had great strength at one point in time. and can actually do some damage after long layoffs, where the uninitiated obviously can hurt themselves as well. But it's kind of a unique situation. When you have somebody that's never trained before and they come to you and they say, look, I want to start training, where do you start them off? Do you start them off with light lifting and cardio? Do you start them off with cardio only? Assuming that they've been given the green light from their physician, for instance, that they can start training. Where do you start with them?
Well, I start everything very, very light, very, very conservative. And I'll tell any potential clients that basically we're going to look at the first 4 to 6 to 8 weeks. And again, I'm very conservative, you know, with the time frame. A lot of times after 2 or 3 weeks of very conservative training, they'll go ahead and start seeing gains, the people that have never really, you know, trained before. So I tell them to look at that initial period as a break-in period. We don't want to come in and just go balls to the wall, you know, because after a couple of sessions, you're going to be so sore, you're going to have done so much damage that you can't move and you can't function, you know, like you normally would. Getting off of the commode or walking up a flight of steps is going to be not only challenging but very painful. So, you know, I will, you know, preface it and warn them. It will seem like the first few weeks that we're not doing very much, but we are preparing your body for the real training that's going to follow. So I always spend a lot of time discussing, you know, that the volume will probably be 50% of what you'll typically do once we get through the break-in period. And every person is different. So, you know, some people we got to go a little bit slower, you know, and some of that is dependent upon age, you know, what their physical condition is, you know, if there are any pre-existing issues, you know, with injury and things like that. But by and large, if people, when they start out, will go conservative, you know, and then slowly ramp it up, then we rarely have any issues.
So when you say conservative, if a guy comes to you, he says, look, I have really never lifted, and I'm in my 40s now. What would a week look like laid out for this guy? Obviously, you can't give poundages, but assuming that you're starting light, we're talking about rep ranges at least. That could help people identify poundages. What does a week look like?
Well, what I would typically do with clients, my private clients, is we have a three-session week, and there's two upper bodies, one lower body. Again, if someone has never lifted, especially someone in their 40s, you know, one leg session a week is about what they're going to recover from, at least initially. So I generally keep the sets and rep ranges from about 3 or 5 sets, depending on what the motion is, and then the rep range is 8 to 12, and I lean to 12. And because I like to get that volume in, I like to use a little less weight on, you know, any of the isolation movements or for a, you know, a power lifter, the assistance. But for someone that is just starting out, I like the 12 rep range just to make sure, you know, that they get enough blood flow and enough work in and are doing so with a light weight. I'll break the upper body into basically a bench and a back type of workout. And then on the second session, we'll do shoulders, arms, and then I will go back and do a little bit of lat and trap workout as well. And some of that bleeds over, but our primary mover for the first day is going to be bench type movements, you know, where it's a pec engaged. And then the second session, you know, we generally will focus a little more on shoulders using an overhead press, you know, along with the isolation movements. But I try to stick to three sets per, you know, exercise and lean towards the 12 reps.
Okay, so I want to break this out. So 3 sets per exercise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get deeper into the way you break it out body part wise. So for chest on a newbie, would you have them do 3 different movements for chest day?
Not really. Usually 2. I'll do something typically like a bench press and then follow it up with a close grip bench press. And that way, you know, we're hitting the pecs in a couple of different spots, and, you know, it allows us to get a little more volume on, you know, straight up pecs, and it's an easy movement for them to do. We're not doing dumbbells right away. We're not doing any kind of decline or incline angle. We're just keeping it flat. We're keeping it very, very basic. And I found that really keeping it simple allows us the most success. Because most of the time, my private clients, they have an hour, maybe an hour and a half window, but most of the time, an hour. So I got to give them, the most bang for the buck and get them in and get them out because they've got so many other things going on. And I always have them warm up, and then we'll do 3 sets of 8 with a bench press. And as they progress, we'll add a couple of sets because they're warming up with the bar. Then we'll go to 3 sets of 8 with, say, close grip. That's very, very typical.
Right.
And then we follow that up with pull downs and row. So we're doing a couple of lat movements, and then I'll have them do some shrugs as well, and sometimes upright row.
Will you do the 3 sets with the 2 back movements as well?
Yes. Yes, we'll generally do a total of 6 sets with the lats, especially.
Will you ever reverse priority? So, like the next time they come in for that day, they'll start out with back and then go to chest, or they always start out with chest?
I always start out with chest because they're nice and fresh, and that's one of those things. Again, what I have found out as I have done this over the years is even your typical baseline fitness client, that's a female, for instance. When they start seeing strength gains, they gravitate to those movements.
Right.
They enjoy those movements. And, I have a female client who is in her early 40s. I want to say she is 41 and became very adept for someone that has no athletic endeavor whatsoever, just wants to work out, wants to be in shape and to be stronger, and started deadlifting double overhand, not a hook grip, just a double overhand, and has pulled in the range of 250 pounds.
Wow.
This is just someone that wants to, work out, and trains 2 to 3 times a week, so she gravitates to that. She's gotten so much stronger on her bench press. She's doing like a touch and go bench press with 150 pounds. And this is a woman that, during the day, is a computer programmer type and then hangs out with her husband in the evening. So there's a lot to be said for that. And she gets more excited about doing, the compound movements. She has gotten so much stronger. She doesn't feel pain in certain areas that she used to when she wasn't quite as active. So I think those are the reasons why it's still structured a not so on the powerlifting routine that we use, because people tend to gravitate towards those big compound movements because, one, that's where they're the strongest and that's where they're going to see the progress. And they really, really like being strong.
Right. Okay, so chest with back on one session.
And what I'll do with that, because I'll typically do some sort of tricep, some type of bicep on that, just 3 sets, something quick, again, because we have an hour, and I make sure that they get ab work in, and that's the typical first session. And then later in the week, we'll do a second session where the shoulders starting, using the overhead press, that becomes the premium.
When do they train legs?
In between.
Okay, so day one would be, day one would be what you just described.
Yes.
Day two would be legs.
Yes.
Day three, they'd come in and do some more touch-up work on the shoulders this time.
Upper body.
Right.
Yes.
And then day four?
Well, typically I don't have very many that just have the schedule to do, 4 days. Now my powerlifters are a completely different story.
Right, but we're talking about average people right now. We're going to get into powerlifters in a second.
Typically, again, I focus, one session for lower body and then 2 sessions for the upper body.
Okay. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. What I want to look at next is how you treat a guy who has been strong before, but he's been out of the gym for a while. This is a different animal, because this is a guy who can go in the gym and hurt himself because he's A, been there before, and B, he probably builds the power a lot faster. Coach Johnson, give your websites, please.
You can find me on Facebook. I have a personal page and then the Johnson Strength page. We are revamping the Johnson Strength Group page, so that'll be announced later, but we are working on it. You can find the forum on weightliftingdiscussion.com, and we'll be revamping that site as well. As always, you can reach me via email at supersquat800@yahoo.com.
Okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. This is the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. Getting started. Where to begin?
Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a proprietary diet protein product with a 49% whey to 51% casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It also contains micro encapsulation essential fatty acids, so they're stable in the bottle to deliver a muscle-building punch. And it tastes great, too. Flavors like banana cream, chocolate peanut butter, cookies and cream, and many more. All their dairy protein is from right here in the USA. It's 100% made in America. Go to xfmuscle.com and get your Ultra Peptide 2.0 today. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. New from Rob Riggish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Rob Riggish had an emergency and had to literally drop the call and speed out the door. I hope everything works out. Anyway, okay. Let's talk a little bit about the guy like me. The guy who's acquired some modicum of strength over a period of time but has to take a long layoff. Loses his conditioning and probably has some of his strength just because of the changes in neural adaptation that he's become accustomed to, and now he wants to get back in the gym. This is a dangerous animal, isn't it? Because I could easily hurt myself if I try to harken back to things that I've done in the past too quickly, right?
Well, when I'm contacted about this very scenario, and it happens somewhat frequently, again, I always preface, you know, the training with, we must be conservative. I understand, you know, that the lifter is lifted. They have some knowledge. They've, you know, acquired a certain level of strength. But once there's a layoff, even after a couple of weeks, when you come back into the gym, and it's even more crucial after a longer period of time of inactivity, you have to break yourself back in. And, you know, that's because the connective tissues just, you know, your body adapts to that workload. And then when it goes away, you know, your body will adapt to being inactive, and it is going to resist going back to the activity of weight training. So I always, again, you know, preface it. We have to be conservative, you know, go through the movements, but be excessively light. I would rather them walk out feeling like they haven't done very much, you know, than to do something that is going to be detrimental. I mean, because, you know, the bottom line is, you know, you've heard me say this a million times, you know, your only bad session is the one you miss. And if you're missing, you know, generally that means you can't train. And if you're injured to the point that you can't train, then you're making no progress, and we've defeated the purpose of starting, you know, to train to begin with. So I always, you know, gear the training towards, let's be very conservative, let's do some very basic movements, and, you know, and then as each week goes along, you know, muscle has memory. I firmly believe that, and so does your central nervous system.
Right.
You will adapt very quickly, you know, and so just invest, just on the front end, if you've been inactive for a while for whatever reason, invest that at least 4 weeks into, I'm just going to get my body accustomed to doing this again. Because generally, you're not only adding the, you know, the strain or the stress of training, but you're also, you know, there's a change in schedule, and all those little things make a huge, huge difference. Give yourself, you know, some time to adapt to a new
schedule.
What's some
time? Is it weeks we're talking about here?
Well, I always use a 4 week, you know, period. You know, that and even with someone that has been training, you know, sometimes each week you can ramp it up a little bit. But I typically don't, if someone has been inactive, I typically like to wait 4 weeks. Sometimes I can get away with two. It just really depends on the person. And, you know, but I like to invest 4 weeks, make an assessment, and then go from that point.
I would imagine that this statement has some accuracy to it. You can never go too light, but you can absolutely go too heavy too soon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So would you use the same template for the restarter versus the uninitiated? Would you say, look, 50% of maximum weight that you used in the past is a starting point, or does he have to start out even lighter?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, I had a gentleman that is going to be training with the powerlifting group. He's a former client and a real good buddy of mine, is coming in the mornings. So basically what we did, today was decline day. We just kind of went to where he felt his threshold was. And, you know, as soon as I saw him, you know, like really where his output was going to be high, we put it in the rack and, we lessened the weight probably about 30 pounds where he could easily get, you know, the working set rep count in. And I go, this is a good place to start. Let's make sure that you're, you know, and we can get away with it more with decline than we can flat. That's a different conversation. But, you know, everything is with the power lifter, they're familiar with the movements. They're familiar with the technique. So we do keep it light, 50 to 60%. You know, it's an individual thing. And just make sure that we're, you know, the form is intact, or that, you know, we work on form first before we start, you know, progressing and then doing all the volume. Or as opposed to using squat as an example, if I have a new client that is, you know, is not familiar with squatting, I'll have them use body weight and squat to a box so they become comfortable, you know, squatting to depth and what the range of motion is going to be. I've got a client that has been in the gym with me she was in the gym for 3 weeks. On the fourth week, I had her start squatting some sets of five with a 15-pound ultralight bar. And so it takes a little bit of time, and we go very, very light. until, you know, they're comfortable, with the movement. But with the guys, with my lifters that, you know, are coming back from a layoff or whatever, we find just a decent threshold that I don't really use a percentage more than watching them as they're warming up and going, okay, let's start there. You know, so, you know, you can actually, you know, walk at work and, you know, and pick up your child and stuff like that without, you know, the threat of falling down because you're so tore up. So, you know, I stick with the basic movements with my power lifters, with my new clients. I'll find the easiest way for them, like, again, with the squat, using the box to squat to with body weight only.
Do you have them doing cardio?
Yes.
Especially, I mean, okay, is it different for the uninitiated versus the restarter, or is it pretty much the same that you're going to have them do the same type of cardio? And when and how much do you prescribe?
Well, again, I have my typical private client, I have them for an hour or so. And usually, you know, it's pretty strict on an hour. So I use the cardio as part of their warm-up, and I'll have them do 10 minutes. And, you know, with the hopes and promises that, hey, when you're not, you know, here with me, you know, you're getting a couple, three sessions, you know, even if it's just walking around the block a few times. But I try to get, you know, 10 minutes where it doesn't infringe on their time. I think that's the biggest waste is when you have, unless you're doing something very specific, but if the person is just getting on a bike or a treadmill and doing 15 or 20 minutes of cardio, you don't need me, you know, standing next to you. Because I think that's a waste of money.
Do you have them doing cardio during the week when they're on their own? Do you say, now look, yes, I want you to do three sessions of cardio. I don't care when you do it, but here's what I need you to do. And if so, yes, what do you prescribe?
Well, a lot of times a lot of these people, if they're coming to me, they typically don't have another gym membership. So I always suggest walking. I mean, it's something, you know, they have animals, they have kids. It's like, go for a brisk 10-minute walk. And any of those things are going to help. And then if you're watching TV during the commercial break, you know, give me some ab work.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that, oh, that's not going to do anything. And I'll tell you, as many damn commercials as there are on TV now, you know, it's just crazy. So I'm like, you know, when the commercial break comes on, give me 10, rest for 30 seconds. If the commercial's still on, do 10. And do that for, you know, a 30-minute, or you're not going to interrupt what you're watching. And pretty soon, you know, every night while you're watching TV, you've done 100 reps of abs, and it's interrupted absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And these things, you know, over an hour, you know, doing 100 reps, well, you know, in a 24-hour period, if you've done zero, then we've gotten absolutely nothing accomplished. And you got to understand, I'm more interested in developing the habit of these people doing something, because eventually what happens, they're going to go, you know, I'm going to take a 15-minute period of time, and I'm going to get 100, 200 reps of abs. It helps develop, you know, the habit.
Well, and we also, from some of the shows we're doing, we also understand that inactivity, or the reversal of that, and being more active when you're at work, or finding ways to hit these little challenges, you know, whether it be body weight squats or ab work during commercials, whatever, actually is part of the longevity prescription.
I agree.
You know, we know now that going in the gym in the morning, hitting it hard for an hour, but then sitting at a desk for 5-6 hours, sitting in the car for a half hour or two and from work, sitting at dinner and then getting in bed, you've got nothing. You've got no collateral for the day as far as the impact of your exercise routine on health and longevity. So really, you know, not doing these things throughout the day is akin to paying your mortgage up to the last payment and then defaulting on the last payment and losing all your equity in your home and walking away from hundreds of thousands of dollars investment. So if you are going to the gym in the morning, it's even more important that you spend time throughout the day staying active. We have to take a break. We want to come back and we're going to talk more about this. A very, very intriguing discussion, especially for me personally, because I've been off for a couple of weeks now due to respiratory infection and so on. And I want to get back in the gym, but I'm a little afraid. I got to be honest with you. I don't feel as strong or as capable as I did before, and at least I have the common sense to sense that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy.
due from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint, and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today. Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise, but that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar, not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Whey Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5 pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Whey Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only 3 ingredients: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Whey Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides. Southern Research Company.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy minus one. Rob Ragish had an emergency that he had to go attend to, otherwise he wouldn't have left abruptly like that. But we are joined by Coach Wade Johnson, a powerlifter extraordinaire and coach to many powerlifters, but coach to many regular people who just understand the value of being stronger. Coach Johnson, do you do anything specifically for your clients to increase cardiac output? There is a lot of evidence scientifically that cardiac output can affect overall strength. Do you ever take this into consideration, or is it just a byproduct of the way you train and you really don't focus on it differently?
We don't spend a lot of time on it, but I'll tell you what I do that helps in that aspect. We will superset certain things. Mm. And I love the kettlebells for this very reason, because we're getting, you know, the strength aspect because there's weight involved, but a lot like the kettlebell swings and things of that nature. And a lot of my female clients, especially the little tiny ones, I mean these people are really small, I'll have them do stiff leg deadlifts, and we do high reps, and then we'll follow that up with a swing, or we'll get on a machine, say like the leg, you know, a seated leg curl, you know, something like that. And they follow that up immediately with 12 reps. And then we even tri-set some certain things, depending on what it is. So that aerobic and that cardiac level, you know, goes sky high, especially with the duress of doing something, a movement like the kettlebell swing where you're using weight, because I push their weights. They'll start light, but they'll get to the point where they're moving serious weight. And, so I think in that aspect, I don't spend a lot of time. Again, I have an hour, you know, so there's a limit to, you know, to what I can do, but that does make a significant difference, I do believe.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're right. You know, that's kind of like, back in the day, Vince Gironda was a huge proponent of moving quickly between sets for that reason, because of its, ability to adapt the heart's output. Then we had another guy, I can't think of his name, who used to do a peripheral action workout where he would train different parts of the body, in succession, so that the heart would have to force blood to the upper body, to the lower body, back to the upper body, back to the lower body, in an effort to try to increase not only the heart's output, but also the vasculature to responding to diverting blood to different areas of the body quickly, which a lot of Navy SEALs and Special Forces people adhere to this type of practice as well, because at a moment's notice, you know, you may find yourself in ice cold water, and then next thing you know, you've got to run really fast. And there's a lot of value to this response of the vasculature, if you will. So I could see how supersets would be something that would be important. Do you think overall strength training prepares the heart better than, say, just aimlessly going in to the gym and pushing machine weight around?
I absolutely think so. I absolutely think so, especially with the power lifters, because of the type of stresses that you're putting the body through. And the thing that we do is with our compound movements, with bench, squat, and deadlift, and in our case, decline, our rest intervals are really big on our big, heavy sets. But once that is done, you know, when we go to the assistant squats, when we go to all the other assistants with the upper body, we go quickly. I mean, it's very quick. A lot of times I'm supersetting this morning just to get done, you know, and to get the work in and to sweat a little bit. I was tri-setting. I'll do a set of pull-downs, and I'll do a set of shrugs, and then I'll do a set of some sort of shoulder isolation. And I do that a lot on my auxiliary days if people are watching my log, where I'll do three, sometimes four movements in succession. And when I'm done with that fourth movement, I'll take a sip of water, and boom, I'm back on, you know, back onto the first movement that I did in that succession of four. So I think there's a lot to be said for that. And with strength training, you'll find, well, I think that's why you see the proliferation of, strongmen, you know, that have a powerlifting background, and how once they get that aerobic level, that cardio level up to par, they become very dominant in the strongman game.
You know what? I want to take our last commercial break because I want to get back on schedule. But when we come back, I want to talk about what it means to be winded when you're training a client, as far as getting them into a position of greater conditioning, how you use signs like getting winded, or somebody says, you know, I'm a little lightheaded after that movement, what you do about that and what it means to you as the coach. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson right now about getting started for both the uninitiated as well as the restarter, somebody who's coming back who's had a certain level of strength in their past, but really they're starting from scratch. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Later in the show, we're joined by the brilliant Adele Musa all the way from Munster, Germany, as we perform the Subversity Science Roundup. We'll be right back.
Products that I believe in, the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. Drops. The name says it all.
Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the H-Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the H-Force banner ad today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint at SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Either you're with those who love freedom, or you're with those who hate innocent life.
All inferior creatures are to be considered.
Welcome back to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. Getting started. Where to start? How to start? We've discussed protocols and templates and things that people can do that make a lot of sense in getting started, whether you are the uninitiated or the person restarting. Coach Johnson, when somebody comes into the gym and they lack conditioning, quite often some of the things that they feel or that you may note as a coach when they are training is, you know, getting winded quickly, which obviously is a sign of lack of conditioning. And even to some extent, feeling a little lightheaded after a particularly stressful set of exercises. And let's face it, stressful set is subjective to where you are in your conditioning. It could be with very light weight and just doing the minimal amount of work as you embark on this journey of gaining strength and conditioning. What does that say to you? What do you watch for, and how do you gauge that sort of thing?
Well, again, it really depends on the lifter, but what I look for is to see if the person is in any sort of duress. Sometimes it's just I did a hard set and I'm really out of breath and I feel lightheaded, and it's like, okay, you know, stay on your feet, let's walk around, let's get a sip of water. You know, I find that if something is going to go wrong, it tends to go wrong even more if the person just, you know, slouches down. You know, keeping them standing up, just like you've seen like the wrestlers do or football players when they're doing drills, they'll walk and they'll have their hands over their head and just, you know, let's focus on breathing, you know, and that sort of thing. And then the look in their eyes and their skin, you know, if somebody's just working hard and they're sweating, we're good. But if they get, you know, clammy or cold, then we've got a, you know, a bigger issue afoot. But a lot of times it's, you know, looking at the lifter, you know, if they stay on their feet, focus on breathing, and we add a little bit of time to the rest intervals, we generally have no issue, you know, in the gym.
Now, obviously, they snap out of it, you're saying. So, in other words, they recover maybe mm-hmm. a little bit longer than you wanted them to or they want to, but well, they do recover. If they don't recover, if they feel like, wow, you know, I just can't catch my breath, then there's something else afoot. They need to stop.
Right. And there, you know, and there's times where we've had to do that. It's like, you know what? I'm going to have you just walk around. Let's get on the bike. We'll go at the lowest level, and I want you to do about 60 RPMs, and let's just keep things going. But let's just pull, you know, back on the throttle. And it doesn't happen very often. But there are some people, you know, given in the state of their fitness, you know, that you just have to go really slow. And again, this goes back to, you know, when we're starting out with someone, especially the uninitiated, you know, I'll tell them, you know, you're going to go very slow, and don't get frustrated, don't get impatient, because we have to, you know, get your body acclimated to what it's doing so you can recover and not be so sore. But by the same token, you know, start raising that level of conditioning, because once we get your conditioning to where we can go, then, you know, I'm going to bust your ass. Don't kid yourself.
Right.
But we've got to lay the groundwork. You know, it's the, you know, the base, you know, of what we're, the foundation of what we're trying to build. You can't skip it. You know,
part of the reason I'm invoking this particular discussion is because it's very important for people, whether you are the uninitiated or the restarter, to start where you are, regardless of where that is. And you know, I always see inspiring stories about individuals who have great obstacles to overcome. Maybe they can only, and this is extreme, and I'm not suggesting that anybody in the audience, me included, is at this level, but where they can only walk a minute at a time. So they walk a minute at a time. And then over the course of weeks, they're walking for minutes at a time. And over the course of weeks, they're walking for 20, 30 minutes at a time. And over the course of more weeks, they're walking for an hour. And over the course of more weeks, they start incorporating a slow jog a few times into that hour, and you watch them progress. And here's the good news to anybody out there who is just getting started or restarting. And quite often you will quit because you have a perception of where you should be and you're not there. And so you go, well, the hell with it. I mean, I've got a good friend who was a very, very strong guy, but he's a pilot. He flies 4 or 5 days a week. He's got a chaotic lifestyle. He hasn't been in the gym anymore. He's fallen down. He says, you know, I remember being able to squat 450 for, you know, 5, 6, 7 reps. He goes, I don't think I could hold 225 on my back without, you know, blowing wind right now. He says, and it's just frustrating, and it keeps him out of the gym because he can't do what he used to do. And so what I say to him, and I say to everybody out there, start where you are. Do what you can. Don't be discouraged, because you will do what you were once able to do. But you have to start where you are, and you have to add what you can as you go through this. And don't become frustrated, because, you know, I used to say to people, look, if you knew that at the end of 5 years doing this job, whatever it is, you'd have $1 million, then you would go to work every single day with joy on your face, because you already know, you already know your fate. But the problem is most people don't know their fate. They're unsure, and they question and second guess. Well, let me tell you with complete assuredness, and please, Coach Johnson, if I'm wrong, squat me down. But start where you are. You will get where you're going to go. You will get where you want to be. Abso-flippin-lutely. So take that and hold it close to you while you're struggling right now to get to where you want to go.
Well, I use this all the time in the gym, especially with guys new in the strength aspect is primarily. But I'll more times than not, let's say use the decline as an example, I'll call a weight for them to do for 6, and they'll look at me absolutely with an incredulous look. And I'll go, try, you know, show me that you can't, and we'll go from there. They'll hit the weight, and then we'll be 6, 8, 12 weeks away, and they'll hit 50, 75, sometimes even in cases, you know, 100 pounds more, and they'll only hit 5 reps, and they're just pissed. They're just furious. And I'll go, hey, if I told you the first day that you came in here that in 8 weeks you're going to struggle and miss one rep with 50 more pounds than the day you started, would you have taken it?
Right.
And almost always the answer is yes. I mean, you know, so you're spot on. It's assess, work within the framework, even less than where you are. Get your body accustomed to what is coming. Slowly push, slowly be progressive, and don't let the linear aspect of everything be what you gauge your progress on. Gauge your progress by how consistent you are. That, hey, I can tell that this week I'm walking an extra minute on the treadmill. Hey, I noticed that I can go to the 30-pound dumbbells instead of just using the 25-pound dumbbells on my hammer curls for each set. You know, those are the things, building that foundation, are going to what allow you, you know, to make more progress as you go and get back to doing, you know, the weights or the activities that you did before you became inactive.
And I got to be honest, okay? I got to say something. That speech I just made was more for me than anybody in the audience. I am at the lowest point of my strength and conditioning that I've been in over a decade. Life keeps getting in the way. I got sick. I have injuries. My snoring has caused some rhythm issues with my heart that I have to overcome, and I am overcoming. It's getting better. But I am at a point right now where, I mean, just doing little things is difficult for me. And I'm like, my God, I was squatting. I was deadlifting. I was pressing. I was doing all these things. What the F? And so I am with those of you out there who are challenged right now by your obstacles. And I'm telling you that all of us, collectively, we can be back there again, or we can be someplace where we've never been before for those who haven't tried.
I agree.
That's it. That's my speech. And I will be listening to this show myself tonight because I am a sad dog right now. But anyway, okay. Listen, Coach Johnson, plug your websites again, please.
You can find me on Facebook. I have a personal page and Johnson Strength Group, page. Weightlifting Discussion is where the forum is. And you can always reach me, via email at supersquat800@yahoo.com. And if I could, if we've
please,
got time, I'd like to tell a quick story. I got to judge a meet this weekend in Manchester. It was the Tennessee State meet, and this has become a big meet every year. We had to actually, you know, cut off entrance to the meet. But real quickly, it's been a couple of months ago, Chris and Brooklyn Winnicki, I believe I'm pronouncing that last name right, contacted me. I met Chris years and years ago before Brooklyn was born, at a meet, and it was suggested to him by a friend of mine that he come visit. He lives in Owensboro, Kentucky. They set up a time, came and trained, and he had me look, surprisingly, at his 11-year-old's lifting, all three of the power lifts. And I looked over at him when we were done, and I said, you know, it is incredible the amount of potential and talent this young girl has. Keep working with her. Don't burn her out. Don't go too fast too soon. But, you know, she can be special. So she bought her a little pink ogreware t-shirt. I come to the meet, and they're there, and she's really excited to see me. Again, 11-year-old, she's walking around in my gym. Within 5 minutes, she looks at me, and she goes, this gym is awesome. So you've got that kind of intensity and that much personality. So she goes through the meet, goes 9 for 9, and I motion for her father. I said, it's the last lift of the day. Have her go for a fourth. And he goes, she'd pulled 175 on her third, which is remarkable because she doesn't weigh anywhere near 175 pounds.
Right.
And he goes, well, what do you think she should pull for the fourth, 180? And I said, no, let her try 200. And he looked at me like I was an idiot. And I said, I'm telling you, I have seen so many people lift over the years. This kid can pull 200 pounds. Let her try. So I told the announcer and the platform staff not to let on, let me, I'll call the load. So she gets up there, she pulls the weight, she is so exuberant beyond her years, and runs and double high fives her dad, and I motion for her, you know, of course the crowd is going crazy and it's the last lift of the day, I motion her over to me, and this is one of these reasons why I keep doing this. It's why God blessed me with the ability to do this. She comes over to me, and I said, do you know how much you lifted? And she just looked at me, and I said, you just deadlifted 200 pounds. Now, I'm expecting a high five. What happens is she jumps into my arms, just falls into my arms, and sobs uncontrollably. She is so overwhelmed with what she's achieved. She's just incredulous. So go to my Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, and it's on there, and you have got to see this. And if this doesn't inspire you, then there is something wrong. It was an absolutely incredible moment. It's one of those things.
I got emotional just hearing the story.
It's all I can do. I'm telling you, it's all I can do. I couldn't watch for the first few days. Both Julia is in the video, and you can see her snapping video footage and snapping pictures. You know, we both have had tears in our eyes numerous times. You know, such a beautiful, delightful child. But it just goes to show you the power, you know, of so many things. We could do a show on it, how important coaching, being a mentor, a great parent, and people making the most of their opportunity, and the power of the mind. Yeah. All she knew was she had to go up there and give it her best shot and execute. And she, you know, an 11-year-old girl pulls 200 pounds with great form,
right,
you know, with room to spare, and it was just a beautiful moment. So, you know,
what's her name again? Brooklyn what?
Brooklyn Winnecke. You go to my Facebook page and just scroll down a little ways, it's on there. Watch it and prepare to be inspired. And then I want to say this before we go. All you guys and girls out there, remember Valentine's Day is coming up. And, you know, for that special one, make sure you take the time, buy that card, buy those flowers. And I wanted to say to my wife, you know, Julia, that I love her, and happy Valentine's Day. And I know, Carl, you've got, you know, that special woman of yours. Yeah. You know, you're like me. You've way outkicked your coverage.
Yeah, that's for
and,
sure.
I hope they don't
come to their senses.
That's well, that's like, if she ever realizes what the real deal is, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
there you go. All right, listen, Wade, great show. Great talking to you. And please do me a big favor. Reach out to the Winneckes. I'd love to have Brooklyn on the show. Just for 10
minutes. I've talked to them, and real quickly while I've been sending you excerpts from the book that I'm writing.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the guys that have helped me develop this are going to be willing to come on the show.
Cool.
And these are the guys that are the real brains behind what
I
do.
Okay. All right, listen, thanks a lot for being on the show today, brother.
Always good to be with you, man.
And sorry Rob Regish couldn't be with us today, but he did have an emergency. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have the brilliant Adele Moussa as we perform the Subversity Science Roundup and we sniff the science in the news and dispel the myths. Be prepared to be shocked. We'll be right back.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Way Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5-pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Way Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients, grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Way Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers. If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Regish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today.
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you're satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance.
Calling all men!
The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today. Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Are you ready? Ready, ready, ready.
Boom. Brass Monkey. Okay.
Are you ready?
Now, we've got a lot of exciting things to talk about today. One of the best contributors to the Superhuman Radio platform is the brilliant Adele Musa, joining us all the way from Munster, Germany. How you doing, Adele?
I'm doing fine. Really good, aside from a slight cough, but that's all.
I can't get rid of my cough. I have to tell you, it's funny you should say that. I mean, I commented on your post about taking time off and how it reactivates the anabolic cycle, and I've been off for several weeks now. Since we went to Florida, and I still have signs of something is going on in my chest. My sputum is still very dark, and it's and I don't know what else to do. I mean, I'm not going to take pharmaceutical drugs. But at the same time, I am aggressively dieting at the same time, which could maybe be causing my immune system not to function as properly. So I don't know.
Yeah, or at least not to bounce back as quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm down 14 pounds. I'm down to 220 pounds right now. I'm using this off period to aggressively fast with refeeds, and I'm using the PDE5 inhibitors that we've talked about to help rid my body of fat. And I have to tell you, I'm losing body fat pretty quickly right now.
That's cool. And that's actually why we're doing this show, to elicit new ways people may not have been heard of. To make progress, not just in terms of weight loss, but also in terms of performance and general health.
Yes. And let's talk, first of all, I know that you said to me to make sure that I know who gave us this story, and I'm going to look right now, but there was a story circulated on Facebook, on my Facebook page, I believe, that implicates the eating of eggs and poultry to increasing the risk or decreasing the recovery from prostate cancer. And so we were asked to do some research on this, and I forwarded it to you, and you did the research. So what did you find out?
Well, at first I took a look at the actual study, and as usual, the story, the abstract tells you, and the actual tables with data in it are telling you are quite different. First of all, you have to look at the subject of this study, and you will find that the people who consumed the most eggs had also the highest rate of smoking. They had the highest BMIs, the lowest activity levels, and most importantly, they also had a higher history of prostate cancer in their family.
Interesting.
So, interestingly, the researchers tried to, as you call it, adapt for those differences via two models. The first one was just considering the body weight, and the second one also incorporated the high rate of smoking, the activity level, and the activity level. But what they did not consider was the history of prostate cancer. And this alone is already telling you that you have to take the results of the study with a grain of salt. And this was, by the way, not a study only on eggs and chicken, as maybe the headline would suggest, but also on red meat. And what is not mentioned in the short versions, or you will read all over the internet of this study, which is, by the way, from back in 2011, is that it turned out that the rate that the red meat in the study at hand led to a 34% risk reduction. And usually you obviously hear that whenever you eat red meat, you get a problem. And right. In this case, they differentiated between total red meat, which had at least from a statistical perspective, no effect, and total unprocessed red meat. So this would be a piece of steak.
Versus a hot dog.
For example, yeah. And that in particular turned out after these models were applied and higher rates of higher or lower rates of activity, etc., had been adjusted, led to a significant 34% risk reduction, and even the trend was significant. That means the more you eat, and in this case, the greatest benefit was with more than 8 servings per week. So
of red meat.
Yeah,
which is contrary to what people will tell you. They'll say, "Well, red meat causes cancer."
Yeah, exactly. And if you compare that now to poultry, which is obviously what chicken is, you will see that there is no significant trend at all. You see a reduced risk in the medium intake group, which would be from 5 to 8 servings per week, which would also allow you to eat chicken every day and still get beneficial and not a detrimental effect. And the only thing that really stands out, and I've commented on that before, is the thing about the eggs, because this trend was actually significant, although it's intriguing that the more adjustments were made, the less significant it was.
The egg's contribution to this situation was, in other words.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So when the scientists just tried to incorporate the body weight, the statistical significance was such that you could say that the chance that this is mere coincidence is only 1%.
Oh,
and it's only 0.1%.
That's nothing.
Yeah, and this is pretty sure, and or pretty certain, so to say. And when they did the adjustment for the other variables, the rate increased to 1%. So that's 10 times more likely that it's just coincidence.
Right.
And this is already telling you that the confounding factors are very important. And every model is only so good as the hypothesis it is based on. And therefore it's really difficult to say how accurate this is in the end. Unfortunately, they did not analyze for different types of eggs, for example, because we all know that there are at least 2 confounding factors you will also encounter when you look at other studies related to food intake, specifically eggs and chicken, and not only prostate cancer, but general cancer risk. And these 2 factors are, 1, what type of chicken, for example, is it? What were the chicken fat? And the other one is how did you prepare it? And this appears to be really important because the study at hand also analyzed different types of chicken. And chicken without skin, for example, did not have any implications of having negative side effects, while the turkey or chicken with skin had statistically, again, non-significant, but at least some evidence of negative effects. Similarly, I've already mentioned that there was a difference for processed versus unprocessed red meat.
Right.
And if you look at the poultry data, you will also see that grilling and pan frying appears to make the chicken unhealthier for you, or render it more dangerous in terms of cancer, of the rate of cancer you could develop.
So, and by the way, it was Khan Santori Davison that submitted this on my Facebook, and we invite anybody who wants questions answered on the Subversity Science Roundup about science in the news to forward it to myself or Adele on our Facebook pages. But so in summary, the recirculated science that's going around right now, I want to try to pronounce this properly. Do you give it the Subversity Dumen oben oder Dumen unten?
Daumen hoch oder Daumen runter.
Yeah, thumbs up or thumbs down. What do you think?
Exactly, yeah. I would say thumbs down, also because there's actually a more recent meta-analysis which analyzed the association between egg intake and prostate cancer risk, and this did not show any associations between egg consumption and prostate cancer-specific mortality. And the scientists concluded, I quote, "Our analysis provided no evidence of the significant influence of egg consumption on prostate cancer incidence and mortality. However, more studies, particularly large prospective studies, are needed." So the most recent scientific consensus is actually that egg consumption does neither cause nor cause prostate cancer, nor will it make you more susceptible to death due to prostate cancer.
But you know, people love this kind of research, especially the mainstream media, because it gives them an opportunity to scare the bejeebers out of somebody about something that they're doing, like eating something that we know is healthy, chicken, and we've learned recently is healthy, eggs. It's just terrible. Well, is there anything else you want to say about this particular topic before we move on? Because I want to take a break and I want to talk about heart disease and what is considered healthy eating next.
Well, maybe as a preview to the heart disease topic, I could say that chicken and eggs are also some of the foodstuffs which are particularly high in omega-6 fatty acids, depending on the food the chicken got.
Right.
And therefore, this could also be a factor of why you see differences in various studies, because an egg is not all eggs are created equal, so to say.
Right.
And not all chicken are either.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will further the discussion. This is the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Moussa, the brilliant Adele Moussa. Visit his website daily, subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com, where he has so many brilliant articles released every single day. Be the smartest kid on your block. Amaze your friends. Impress your mother. Go to subversity.com today. We'll be right back with more Subversity Science Roundup.
Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Whey Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5-pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Whey Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers.
Happy New Year!
Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you're satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yeah! Throw your hands in the air right now, man.
That's Professor Axel.
Yo, crack the dawn.
Professor Axel.
Squad.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup. Okay, onward and upward. Heart disease, the number one killer in America. Lots of conflicting information out there, confuses the heck out of people. And so now the discussion turns to something called healthy eating, which is another ambiguous term when you look around. So what is healthy eating? Contributes to or helps this case?
Well, healthy eating is, of course, eating tons of polyunsaturated fatty acids and avoiding saturated fat like a plague. Well, at least to the official guidelines.
Right.
And it's quite interesting that a study that has been published not too long ago, the title already is suggesting it's use of dietary linoleic acid, which is an omega-6 fatty acid, for secondary prevention of coronary heart disease and death. Evaluation of recovered data from the Sydney Diet Heart Study and updated meta-analysis. So for whatever reason, the data they analyzed had disappeared mysteriously and was now recovered, so to say. At least it sounds like that. And when you look at the outcomes of this study, you could even speculate that this was no coincidence. Because when they analyzed the outcomes, they found out that there were statistically significant increases in all-cause mortality and cardiovascular mortality in those subjects who had been randomized to the treatment approach. Mm. And this treatment consisted of eating omega-6 linoleic acid rich safflower oils and using safflower oil margarine instead of butter, for example.
Right.
So it was the basic eat more polyunsaturated fatty acids in general, not specifically omega-6s, but the most significant advice was actually to incorporate those safflower oil margarines and safflower oil in general into the diet. And the outcome, as the scientists say, did actually show that the results were exactly the opposite of what the scientists had expected or had wanted to see.
Right.
And in their conclusion, the scientists write, these findings could have important implications for worldwide dietary advice to substitute omega-6 linoleic acid or polyunsaturated fats in general for saturated fats. In other words, the scientists already imply that the current standing and the current advice in the dietary guidelines, which are very similar all across the world, are flawed and not supported by at least the research they have. And if you look around, then there's been so much research on the detrimental effects of the overload of omega-6 fatty acids that by now the official government bodies should actually already have reacted and changed it, even if it was not for this particular study, which is just another piece to the puzzle.
Okay, so the bottom line here is that the current standards recommended by most governments today that is supposed to be heart healthy, which also includes, ironically, grain consumption, really are not heart healthy at all.
In essence, yeah. And because they are much too, on the one hand, they are too broad, and on the other hand, they are painting differentiated image. For example, the outcome of the study could have been different if that had been another oil which may have had a relatively high amount of omega-6 fatty acids, as olive oil, for example, has. It has some omega-6 fatty acids, but it's not the main component, and still you could replace saturated fat for olive oil and maybe see benefits. And there are also anti-inflammatory omega-6 fatty acids like GLA. And regular sunflower oil does not contain, or it does contain 0.1% or so of this anti-inflammatory version of the omega-6 fatty acids. So this was maybe also a particularly bad choice as a substitute. That being said, you still have to ask yourself whether the general or whether there is actually sufficient evidence to still stick to the message that saturated fats are the worst, regardless of your intake levels of the other fatty acids.
Right.
I'm also people who read my blog and who follow my postings on Facebook, or have read my recent interview with Sean Casey, will be aware that I'm not someone who says you cannot have one single gram of omega-6 fatty acids. But as I've said before, the way we feed our animals and the way most processed foods are made,
right,
with tons of vegetable oils which contain high amounts of omega-6 fatty acids, it's almost impossible to be deficient in them, which could be a real danger if you were going totally hardcore trying to avoid omega-6 fatty acids like a plague. The first sign, for example, is dry skin and a real deterioration in skin quality in general. This is unlikely for the common inhabitant of the Western world, especially if he's following or she is following the dietary guidelines, which are still full of foods that are high in omega-6 fatty acids.
Okay, let's do something now. Let's talk about things that may be beneficial to the heart. You have an article cited here about the garlic oil and diabetic cardiomyopathy, which leads to heart failure.
Yeah, exactly. We already know for some time that garlic, not really due to its fatty acid components, or at least not to the major components you may be thinking of, like omega-6 fatty acids or monounsaturated fatty acids, but rather to other molecules in garlic, is very heart healthy, and it helps, for example, vasodilation, and will reduce blood pressure. And this most recent study was actually able to show that direct supplementation with relatively small amounts of garlic oil can have beneficial effects on cardiomyopathy in a rodent model. So this only confirms what people have been or what scientists have been elucidating within the last years, that there are many many dietary compounds of which you will interestingly find that they are particularly high in diets which have always been hailed as healthy.
Right.
For example, the Mediterranean diet, you'll have lots of garlic in there. And these are slowly uncovered and identified, and still there is, in the official guidelines, there is not much room for mentioning things like that.
Now, since we're talking about omega-6 fatty acids, I want to bring the discussion to the sex differences of two different critical omega-3 fatty acids for a moment. This is really an enlightening study. We find so often so many different things. Recently, the gut microbiota affects different sex differences. There's a difference in EPA and DHA on thrombosis risk in men versus women, and this is astonishing to me.
Yeah, it's really astonishing. So if you're looking to reduce your risk of thrombosis and you're a woman, you would be better off taking DHA, while men respond more beneficial to EPA in terms of blood clotting factors and platelet aggregation. And this is obviously not just important for heart health, but it is also important to prevent
stroke. Stroke and clotting, right. Now, but okay, so Adele, when you looked at this research, was there an indication that the EPA had a null effect or a negative effect on thrombotic index in women?
No, they were both beneficial. But interestingly, the EPA produced a 18% reduction in platelet aggregation in men, and the DHA did the very same in women.
Okay.
And on average, if you just usually you will have both of them in
right.
a supplement or in real foods, of course. And in that case, the average was about 11%, if I remember correctly. And even that would obviously be highly beneficial, at least if you're not taking warfarin or other drugs like that at
right.
the same time. And we've talked about that in a previous installment of this show, that
right.
Many of the beneficial supplements have unexpected side effects when you combine them with drugs. And unfortunately, more and more people are chronically taking drugs these days and really have to watch what they add on top of it.
But the bottom line from your standpoint is that people should continue to take a combination of EPA and DHA. Just understand that one benefits women more than men. Or are you saying that men should focus on food sources that are higher in EPA and women should focus on food sources that are higher in DHA? Or should we, because I don't want to abandon my cod liver oil, if not necessary.
No, certainly not. Because, I personally think the decreased thrombosis risk is, the least reason why people would take fish oil supplements.
Okay.
And if you asked me which one to take, I would always prefer the DHA over the EPA, simply because our bodies can relatively easily convert the DHA back to EPA, while the step from EPA to DHA is very hard to do. And I think it's even more difficult for men to do that than for women. And on the other hand, most of the cellular benefits also in the brain come from DHA and not EPA. And if there are any negative side effects associated to fish oil consumption, they are often related to EPA and not to DHA. So in general, DHA is king, and EPA is its precursor, which has likewise beneficial effects, especially those on thrombosis risk. But it's only the number two if you
right.
had to
right.
to compile a ranking of omega-3 fatty acids.
Okay, I want to. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, simple ALA, which is the short chain version of omega-3 fatty acids, has its own particular benefits, but it's not a good source to get the long chains. We are usually we are more prone to be deficient in than in ALA.
And ALA is found in typically in vegetable sources like flaxseed oil and so on, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I want to touch on one other subject before we take a break and get back on course with the titled topics today, and that is glucose metabolism, left ventricle mass, and sympathetic nervous system activity in obese subjects with metabolic syndrome. This is really intriguing to me from the sympathetic nervous standpoint. Give us an overview, and then let's zero in on the SNS for a second.
Well, the interesting thing about the study is that it's one of the few which actually draws a mechanistic connection between diabetes or high blood sugar levels and the arising heart dysfunction. And what the scientists found is that the high blood glucose levels set you in a fight and flight mode constantly, mm-hmm. and that is obviously that will obviously take its toll on your heart health, just like taking a beta 2 agonist like clenbuterol will take a toll on your heart, because it will set you into the same fight and flight mode for 24/7, so to say.
What did you refer to? Did you say clenbuterol?
Yeah.
Okay. Would caffeine fall into that category as well?
Well, caffeine does not have a long enough half-life. Unless you're drinking coffee all day, I don't think that it would be that problematic.
Okay.
But clenbuterol, I did mention clenbuterol because it is one of the best known ways to induce heart defects in rodents. By feeding them large amounts of clenbuterol.
I hope those of you out there that are listening to this are hearing this. This is well known. Those of you who are considering trying the clenbuterol plus thyroid hormone cutting phase that is used by bodybuilders, the evidence that clenbuterol actually damages cardiomyocytes is well founded. But go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
The dosages are obviously higher than most bodybuilders take. But you know how people like to up the dose when the effects decline, and clenbuterol is notorious for working only relatively short term as efficient fat burner until your body adapts. And when you keep increasing the amount you take, you won't really notice any additional benefits, but your heart will notice more detrimental effects. And some of them cannot be reversed afterwards in the worst case.
So the interesting side of this that I found was the central nervous system, I'm sorry, sympathetic nervous system activation by the high blood sugar levels. This is really intriguing because SNS plays a large role in a variety of different disorders in the body. And if it's doing this to the heart, we can say that. And the other thing that I want people to hear is this. We talk about nutritional protocols that require great spikes in insulin and great spikes in blood sugar level. And I posed this question yesterday to John Kiefer. I said, I understand carb backloading is beneficial to get your body into a certain conditioning for a period of time, but are you espousing that you can live on this approach? Because we know all of the damaging effects that high blood sugar levels have on cellular senescence, and you name it, it goes down the list. And he said, well, the jury's still out on that. And I like that he was honest about that. The effects on the sympathetic nervous system are playing roles in not only in this case here, cardiomyopathy, but also in deregulation and dysregulation of heart rhythm. We have so many people out there who have asynchronous heart rhythms. They have tachycardia. They have what's the word I'm looking for right now? Palpitations and so on. It could be assumed that while you may not be a frank diabetic, if you are living with higher than, let's say, optimal blood sugar levels, that instead of completely damaging the heart, they'll just cause these little nagging problems. What do you think about that statement?
Certainly true. And these are typical effects of a high sympathetic nervous system activity. And people who have been reading the subversity articles in the past couple of days will also have read about overtraining and sympathetic and parasympathetic overtraining. And one sign of sympathetic overtraining is exactly a higher heart rate, palpitations. You really feel your heart pumping in your chest, and even that it's stumbling. And all that can happen due to overtraining and an overexertion, or too much activation. So
activation of the sympathetic nervous system, right?
Of the central nervous system and of the sympathetic nervous system, right, in particular.
Right. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get back on track. We're going to talk about brewer's yeast, mustard, and some other food products that may affect obesity and blood sugar levels. We're talking with Adele Musa. This is the Subversity Science Roundup, where you get smarter and smarter every minute you spend with us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Way Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5 pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Way Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only three ingredients: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Way Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a proprietary diet protein product with a 49% whey to 51% casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It also contains micro encapsulation essential fatty acids, so they're stable in the bottle to deliver a muscle building punch. And it tastes great too. Flavors like banana cream, chocolate peanut butter, cookies and cream, and many more. All their dairy protein is from right here in the USA. It's 100% made in America. Go to xfmuscle.com and get your Ultra Peptide 2.0 today.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Oh, you're going to love this song, Adele. This is that old German guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember when you first heard that song, you said that that's a song that the old people in Germany would recognize, but nobody young would recognize it.
Yeah, exactly. I think the generation that comes after me would not even be able to tell you that this is that older people love this song, because they would not even have heard about this song once.
Okay, so I used to use brewer's yeast a lot, and I haven't lately. Talk about brewer's yeast mustard. You've got a couple items on this lineup and what their effects on obesity and insulin resistance are.
Well, I think we could start, by the way, it's baker's yeast, not brewer's yeast. Usually it's made by a different strain, but in general they are quite similar. And in this case, it's baker's yeast from Dachau-Magdius-Servisiitae. And the active compound in it is a beta-glucane. Uh-huh. And we have talked about those in connection with oats before,
yes,
that they have beneficial health effects. And the researchers have found out that these particular beta-glucans could actually help you to get finally rid of your cough and your runny nose, because they will increase, or rather prevent the decrease in immune resistance after a workout. Mm-hmm. And up to now, the researchers always thought that the main reason why athletes are more susceptible to getting at, especially those minor illnesses like a common cold, for example,
right,
is due to the constant suppressing effect of exercise
on the immune
their
system.
Immune system.
Right, right.
And if this turns out to work and they are producing this as a supplement, it could actually help. It could actually be one of the staple supplements, at least for professional athletes, and in particular for endurance athletes. Because in endurance athletes, you see this phenomenon of constantly suppressed immune system, even to a greater degree than in strength trainees. So this would be one of the beneficial supplements mentioned in this episode. And the other ones are actually not really related to the immune system, but rather to something else most people are more concerned of, actually.
Energy expenditure and energy balance.
Yeah, energy.
But wait, before we go to those, so would, I mean, brewer's yeast probably contains beta-glucan also, but baker's yeast is very easy to obtain, and any grocery store sells baker's yeast. You know, your mom buys it to bake bread and make pizza dough with and stuff. What, can we just use that to help? And if so, how would we take it?
Well, I'm not sure about this, because in this particular study, they just used a commercially available supplement, which the name is Wellmune VGP, and this is an extract of just the beta-glucane from
okay,
the baker's yeast.
Okay.
So I'm not quite sure how much of it you would need to get those 250 milligrams per day. And obviously the stuff at the supermarket won't have a label saying standardized for,
right,
say, 100 milligram of beta-glucanes per 10 grams or so.
Right.
And in general, we all know, however, that that baker's yeast and brewer's yeast are long-standing supplements for physical culturists, also because they contain significant amounts of B vitamins and have been taken for quite some time. In the last decades, I think only, they got a bad rep. I'm not quite sure why, I think that the idea of being able to really pick isolated nutrients took off so much that people rather wanted to know exactly this one pill has that amount of vitamin B1, vitamin B2, and that
it simply didn't appear to be necessary.
Right.
Just like good old liver tubs. Nobody thinks of those these days, although they are also a magnificent source of all sorts of vitamins and minerals.
Right, right. Okay, let's move on. Mustard, horseradish, black pepper, ginger, all of these are pungent. All of these are spicy, hot. What do they do for us?
Well, this was a short-term study in which the scientists actually served their subjects one meal which was prepared with relatively small amounts of these different ingredients. And they were selected in a way that that the food was still tasty. And this is much different from what you see in most other studies, and especially in all those rodent studies,
right,
where you would have to shovel down several tablespoons of pepper, for example,
right,
at once to see the result. And in this case, the dosages were just as if you used it as a regular ingredient in your meals. And the only one which produced borderline significant increases in dietary-induced energy expenditure was, however, the mustard. And the mustard was also the one which was dosed the highest. So there were 21 grams of mustard in the meal. The next one with a similar high dosage was ginger. So those are the ones you could actually compare on a dose-to-dose basis. And when it comes to this, then mustard appears to be the more promising ingredient in order to induce thermogenesis from the foods you eat. And I think everyone who has had some of the very hot varieties of mustard,
right,
will know that they work similarly to chili peppers. And the effects that were observed with high amounts of chilies actually brought the scientists initiated the study, because the scientists wanted to see whether hot foods with other ingredients would also produce similar results. And as the researchers mentioned, it is not yet sure whether you would really have a significant contribution in terms of weight loss by supplementing or by using just more mustard. But we know from previous studies that eating spicy foods is also often more satiating. And if all those effects or all those effects come together, it could really help you lose weight or keep your weight stable at least.
Right.
And I would rather say, if you like it, this is another reason to eat it. If you don't like it or really hate it, then keep away from mustard.
Yeah, you know, peppers are measured in something called Scoville units as far as their ability to produce heat. And we know that even capsaicin, you know, red pepper, has the ability to stimulate the burning of body fat. So it makes perfect sense. And I think if you are, success requires lots of different things. So if you are somebody who's in the process of trying to cut body fat and you want, you know, a couple little extra things working in your favor, try increasing your consumption of spicy foods if you can tolerate it. If you can't tolerate it, don't worry about it. But ginger, you know, ginger extract in a capsule form, I have to believe would have the same effect, and you don't have to eat it. You don't have to taste it. You don't have to, suffer through the spiciness of it.
Yeah, so, and it's a potent anti-inflammatory and has other beneficial health effects.
So many benefits. It's just unbelievable. You just, you know, you go on and on about it. It sounds like snake oil when you start talking about it. But anyway, all right, so this is good information. Let's move to, with your permission, the healthy soy paradox. Women are still convinced. I'm sorry.
Let's just briefly mention the psyllium, which is a dietary fiber.
Yes.
And because I think that's interesting that the dietary fiber you eat can actually have an effect on the gene expression in the liver and in the skeletal muscle, where a psyllium fiber intake will actually increase the fatty acid oxidation specifically in the muscle and liver tissue. And this is what many people are actually missing. And therefore, it is, or this can also explain why high fiber diets have always been indicated to yield beneficial results in terms of maintaining your weight and also losing body fat, because there appears to be a mechanism a link between our digestive tract and the central thermogenic response. And one of those peptides that may be involved there is GLP-1,
right,
which is increased in response also to short-chain fatty acids, which are produced from bacteria from fermentable fiber. So this is really one of the avenues where I see much potential for people also to optimize their diets by implementing certain types of fibers. We have been talking about the Gamma Arabicum study,
right,
I think 2 weeks ago, where the women really lost significant amounts of body fat by just eating a couple of grams of these viscose fiber every day.
Psyllium husk is different than some fibers because it's non-soluble. It's a bulk-forming fiber. Your body really can't digest it at all. It pretty much goes in and comes out the same exact way. Do soluble fibers have the same effects like I can't think of the name of it now, and I think you just mentioned it, but it's the
Gamma Arabicum.
No, that's not it. I can't think of the name of it right now. It'll come to me probably after the show is over. But is there a difference in soluble versus insoluble fibers in its activity in the body?
Yeah, there is generally a difference. And interestingly, solubility is not it does not really appear to be the most significant thing. It appears that the consistency of the bark that is formed also has an important effect. And we are not really sure yet, or scientists are still speculating about which various factors contribute. Some say that it's just filling you up, and being full of its own has an effect on thermogenesis, for example, and on the expression of the aforementioned peptides, or satiety peptides also. And the other thing appears to be that other fibers, which are fermentable, for example, they feed beneficial bacteria, which in turn will produce molecules that are beneficial for your health, your overall health, and your metabolic health. So all those different types of fibers appear to have some sort of beneficial effect. On the other hand, pounding tons of fiber is probably going to result in significant digestive problems.
Right.
So again, you will have to find a medium ground, and also to combine the different types of fibers. I think this will help you to prevent many of the digestive side effects, especially if you eat too many of those which really have to go out the same the exact other way they came in, but don't really change their structure. You can end up being constipated, for example, when you don't drink enough of them.
Glucomannan was the fiber I was struggling to remember, and this
oh, yeah.
is a fiber that is water soluble, and it can actually absorb 100 times its weight in water. And this is one that's associated with increased satiety as its main effect. And obviously psyllium husk is different entirely because it does not absorb much of anything, and it does go in and come out the same exact way. Okay.
Yeah.
Can we move on then to?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. The healthy soy paradox. Many women are still convinced that soy is a wonder food. Many clinicians still recommend that women use soy. What is the most recent research?
Well, interestingly, the research does come from Korea. So exactly from the region where this roof of the healthy soy products originated from, because some Western scientists obviously thought the Asian women were healthier, especially post-menopause, because they were eating more soy. And now Korean scientists took a look at 46 women with metabolic syndrome and 60 controls, all of them post-menopausal, and found that a higher intake in soy did not lead to or was associated with the occurrence of metabolic syndrome, and not vice versa. And especially increased triglyceride levels, of which we now know that they are actually more detrimental than increased total cholesterol levels.
Right, right.
As well as
blood pressure.
Higher blood pressure and lower HDL cholesterol levels were typical characteristics of those women who did not report to eat the most soy products, but who had actually their urine measured in order to determine how many of those purportedly healthy isoflavones they were consuming on a daily basis.
Now, we just talked about the chicken and egg study and how they neglected give the proper gravity to other contributing factors in that study. Is there anything in this study that speaks to you that you say, well, you know, they didn't control for this, they didn't control for that, these women also were guilty of doing these other high-risk things that would contribute to the negative effect of soy consumption?
Well, that's difficult to say, especially since this is not a large-scale study. On the one hand, there is less statistical shenanigan involved in this study mm-hmm. than in the other one. No fancy models. On the other hand, you can argue that it may have been coincidence simply because they used a relatively small study group of 100 subjects, or slightly more than 100 subjects. On the other hand, this is not by no means the first study which does suggest that the long health or the health benefits of which many people are still concerned that they exist are not really showing in the real world. And this could also be due to the fact that many of them are actually more or less based on casual observations and subsequent in vitro studies. For example, the bad guy in this particular study is Genistein. And genistein is actually one of those of the isoflavones of which you usually will hear that good. They are highly beneficial.
Yeah, good things about, right, right.
Breast cancer and so.
Yeah, and you know what I like about this? They measured the excreted levels of diazin, genistein, and other isoflavones. So it wasn't like these women were self-reporting or there could have been some misinformation about the amount that they were consuming. The group with the significantly higher risk also had the significantly higher urinary excretion, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah,
so this was certainly a strength because we all know that those dietary records are pretty inaccurate.
Yeah.
Interestingly, there has just been published a paper on a tool that's a tool for smartphones by which you can track your dietary intakes.
Hmm.
And the study found out that the outcomes are more or less flawed on an individual level. But because they are flawed for so many people, if you do a study with, say, 200 people in the study, the overall notion will still be appropriate. So the facts actually cancel out.
Wow. We have been talking a lot about gut health, the microbiome, its relationship to disease, its relationship to obesity. You cannot talk about gut health without addressing leaky gut syndrome, which we know does exist, although some doctors ignore it. There are two amino acids that seem to help protect against it. And is it safe to also extrapolate that high clinically significant or therapeutic doses could help reverse it? Talk about that.
Well, actually, we know that for quite some time that arginine and glutamine are very important for the structural integrity of the gut lining. And there are more and more studies coming out, and this one is only the latest in a whole series of studies which show that especially glutamine appears to be of very high importance for the integrity of the gut lining. And I've written about that on the Subversity
yes.
before.
Yes.
Because one thing that really depletes the glutamine levels in your intestines is actually high-intensity exercise.
Right.
And the glutamine will be sucked out of the intestine, so to say, in order to supply your muscle and in order also to be metabolized into glucose in the liver. And after a workout, you usually end up with a leaky gut and are more susceptible to all those pathogens getting into your bloodstream because of the leaky gut. And this could actually also explain the strange effects the relatively low amount of glutamine had in the study we've been discussing before in the last installment. Because if you supplement right around the workouts, you could maybe circumvent the
benefits of it.
The breakdown, right, or at least ameliorate, right, breakdown of the gut lining, and therefore avoid all the negative downstream effects that arise when pathogens and also toxins can enter relatively freely into your blood.
Okay, so in this particular study, did they supplement with arginine and glutamine? I know this is chemo. These were individuals receiving chemotherapy, which induces a permeability in the intestinal wall.
This particular study was an in vitro study. So there have been studies in human beings, especially also in terms of the beneficial effects of glutamine on the gut integrity with exercise. And there has been a very intriguing study on pigs, which have a very similar digestive system as human beings.
Right.
That did show that the use of glutamine did not only heal a leaky gut and hinder bacteria to enter into the system, but it also increased the availability of BCAAs, arginine, and other amino acids the swine were fed. So this goes to tell you that feeding the intestine first, which does need glutamine and other amino acids, you will also elicit a greater increase in, or you will get more out of the other amino acids you consume.
And in your estimation, what would be the timing of taking glutamine and arginine around meals or so on, and in what type of doses if someone was taking these specifically to enhance the gut health?
Difficult to say. I would say glutamine appears to be useful as, before and after a workout, like 5 grams, for example. Many people have been taking arginine before a workout anyway.
Right.
You could make a point that maybe alpha-ketoglutarate, the alpha-ketoglutarate form of arginine, AAKG, could elicit additional benefits because the ketoglutarate is also involved in this amino acid cycle. So I would suggest that maybe 5 grams of glutamine before and 5 grams glutamine after workout could already help. It's difficult to say how much of it you would actually need. And as far as arginine is concerned, it has also interesting effects on glucose metabolism, especially in people who have problems with insulin insensitivity, yeah. And in that case, maybe it may be useful to use the glutamine
before
meals, for example. Yeah. And I've only recently posted a summary of the research on arginine, unfortunately, mostly in animal models, which would suggest that it can also help weight loss by its insulin sensitizing effects, but also by some downstream effects on fatty acid oxidation.
Hmm.
So while it is not the nitric oxide booster that it was supposed to be, it's still not useless. And it's also very important to get rid of ammonia. And this makes glutamine and arginine a perfect duo, because glutamine, when it's oxidized, will produce ammonia. And the ammonia must be excreted via uric acid, and uric acid requires arginine. So those two really go hand in hand.
Interesting. Really, really good point, especially for people out there who are suffering with issues of high ammonia levels. We have to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to really have to hit this hard so that we can cover all the topics. We have a lot of good topics yet to cover. Stay with us. You're listening to Subversity Science Roundup. We're going to go a little long today because it's important. We'll be right back with more.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Are you in the midst of cutting body fat? Feel exhausted when it's time to train but don't want to use pre-workout drinks because they're loaded with sugar and carbs? Ice V2 is here to help you get intense while carbohydrate depleted. Ice V2 has only 1 gram of non-sugar carbs per serving. Ice V2 is loaded with strength-amplifying anabolic activators that will make your workouts more productive while allowing you to cut the fat. Cut the fat. Loaded with amino acids, Ice V2 contains the unique Formel Norvaline that acts as a pump amplifier. Get Ice V2 today at xfmuscle.com.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RG Cell Super Stem Cell Support. RG Cell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Get everything right, and I want you to. I get everything right, I'm not playing rude. I get everything right, I get up and swing.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup. We're joined by Adel Musa, all the way from Munster, Germany, as he applies the Subversity Science, Subversity Sniff Test to science in the news. All right, let's move on to, since we're talking about gut health, gastric bypass is not the same as dieting. Why is that?
Well, scientists are not really sure why it is the case, and there are probably, again, many contributing factors. But what they found is that gastric bypass has the interesting ability to not only make the patients lose weight, but also increase their metabolic rate or their relative metabolic rate per body weight, while dieting down to the same body fat level without the gastric bypass has the exact opposite effect. It does induce a certain decrease in relative energy expenditure. And the scientists are not, the scientists in this particular study say that this could actually be due to the fact that some of the lipids are not digested in the same way. But I personally think that this may be a contributor, but based on previous studies, we know that one of the main effects, at least in a rodent model and in other studies that observed the effects on humans, is the increase in the expression of those satiety
peptides. Yeah, that's exactly. I was just going to say, what about GLP-1? What about cholecystokinin? What about a new one that seems to have an influence on when you diet, shutting down energy consumption, which I think is NYP, a new protein that
NPY.
Yeah. I mean, what if by bypassing the stomach, you're not only bypassing the digestive process, but the contribution of these hormones perhaps being absorbed downstream?
Well, actually, there is an increase in these hormones. So due to the lower stomach size and really being full, and this really means mechanically full, because GLP-1, for example, has already been shown to be stimulated by the stretch response in the stomach. This alone contributes to these effects. And on the other hand, you obviously don't have the psychological strain, because actually you feel also satiated. When you have this gastric bypass, in the first weeks or first month or so, people really have to watch that they do even eat enough, not to lose too much weight too fast. And there are, on the other hand, some formerly obese people which got obese again after having gastric bypass, by enlarging their stomach, or what was left of their stomach, to the regular size, and even more of many lean individuals over time. And this does tell you that that this is really a structural mechanism involved here.
Right.
And the lower metabolization of fatty acids, for example, is just one additional factor, I would say. More important are those signaling cascades, which are either restored or even overpronounced, at least in the early phases after a gastric bypass.
But then one would think that from dieting or I'm a very aggressive fasting combined with a late day refeed. My stomach has shrunken. I can tell because I feel full much faster. So wouldn't I be benefiting from some of these same effects now that my stomach is physically shrunken to some degree?
I guess you should, yeah. On the other hand, your stomach has not enlarged in the same way as the stomach of somebody who has become so obese that he got gastric bypass surgery.
Yeah, no, you're
so,
right.
This is probably like the skin, and those people who lose tons of weight is it won't return to its regular size. The stomach won't return to its regular size, just like the fat has to be surgically removed.
Right.
Because it won't return to, or the skin won't return to
right.
the flesh, so
right.
to say.
Right. So you have sagging skin, you probably have a larger sagging stomach as well. I agree. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Let's move on. Choline and folate, for a better brain in both children and adults. What's this about?
Yeah, that's interesting because, choline also brings us back to the initial topic of eggs, because eggs are one of the best sources of dietary choline.
Right.
And choline has long been known, as a, beneficial agent for the brain. It's not just beneficial, but even totally necessary for the brain. And in one of the most recent studies, scientists were able to show that the higher choline levels, especially in this case also measured in the blood, were associated with a significantly higher cognitive performance in old adults aged 70 to 74 years. And this is interesting because many of those foods are on the no-go list of the general advice of the general dietary advices are actually pretty high in choline. So choline is usually a nutrient that occurs in conjunction with fats. And since fats, but not specifically polyunsaturated fats, obviously, rather saturated fats, as in eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it is a matter of fact that when you reduce your intake of foods like that, you will also reduce your choline intake. And choline is also of essential importance for the liver. The easiest way to get a fatty liver is just to, or at least to induce that in rodents, is to feed them a choline-deficient diet. Hmm. And the fatty liver will develop no matter what. So I think that choline is one of those really forgotten nutrients, not just for brain health, but also for overall metabolic health.
And folate?
Yeah, folate is has this or similar beneficial effects, but on the other hand of the age spectrum, there has been a recent re-evaluation of the data from the NHANES studies, which are those large scale studies. Where they select several ten thousands of U.S. citizens and test them for certain nutrient intakes and so on.
Right.
And in this case, this is the largest study to date, and it included 5,365 children aged 6 to 16 years old. So in overall, there are always more than 10,000 of participants altogether, but obviously not all of them are children usually.
Right.
So they just analyzed the data from the children, and they found that of those two B vitamins, which are usually mentioned, or actually more often mentioned than choline in terms of cognitive health, which are folate and B12, only folate was significantly associated with increased performance on cognitive tests in those children. And interestingly enough, folate supplementation has also been shown to yield some benefits in elderly individuals. And if you look at the basic mechanism, you will also notice that both folate as well as choline are also involved in the clearance of homocysteine, and they are involved in the methylation cycle. And therefore, you could probably fairly assume that if you did the one test, the folate test for the older individuals, you would have found similar results as in the young ones, and if you had tested the young, the children for choline, you would probably also have found that they could benefit from, or that there is a benefit from having higher choline levels, also in the young.
Interesting. Really, really interesting. So we need to pay attention to both choline and folate intake for healthy brain function. Now, obviously, I've heard you say numerous times on this show that if someone is not deficient in some of these things, then they're not taking more is not necessarily going to benefit them. Is that true here as well?
Yeah, I would say so. It's quite intriguing that usually the effects of deficiency and the effects of taking too much are very similar. For example, if you take way too much choline, which is actually not possible if you don't ingest it in supplemental form, you can also get problems with your liver.
Yeah, and you stink like fish too.
yeah, of course, yeah. And on the other hand, we know that folate, which is often mentioned as being cancer protective, and the fact is, if you are in the optimal zone, it can actually precipitate cancer if you take too much.
Right.
So I think the RDA is 400 micrograms, if I'm not mistaken, and the range where the first detrimental effects are observed begins at 800 micrograms. So if you accidentally pop two instead of one of your full RDA folate tablets every day, you are already at the verge of being at risk of having too much folate in your body. Mm-hmm. And especially if you ingest it in isolated form, it does not come with the usual synergists. And this could be a particular problem. So in general, make sure that you eat foods that are high in folate and choline. I already mentioned choline is found in eggs, for example, and is also found in many other foods which are usually not on the top health food lists of this world.
Right.
While folate is meanwhile in almost every food because it's added artificially, which is also highly questionable, because there is a difference in the way the body metabolizes dietary folate and folic acid. And it's also pretty rich in green leafy vegetables and other things that are rather on the usual list of foods that are good for you. So, in essence, I don't think that many of us are at risk of developing a folate deficiency, especially not those who are following a paleo-ish whole foods a nutritious diet.
Right.
And even those who don't will get the folic acid from, or the added folic acid from many of the processed foods.
Since we're talking about folate and vitamins in general, let's move to something else that is very interesting to me, and that is that there's a new form of vitamin D, apparently. What is this, and what is it supposed to do for us?
Yeah, new, well, it is new in so far as scientists are just realizing that it's not just an inactive metabolite, but it's actually, it does actually have very similar effects to the active form of vitamin D, which is produced from the vitamin D3.
Right.
You either produce in your skin or you supplement or eat in foods, especially high fatty fish. And this new form is another metabolite, which is similarly active, especially as an antifibrogenic agent. So it reduces scleroderma, for example, and may also have benefits in other sclerotic diseases, which has not yet been elucidated. And the best thing is that, at least as of now, it appears that it does not have any of the negative side effects of quote-unquote real active vitamin D, calcitriol, which can also lead to calcification, for example, and is nothing you can buy at the pharmacy for a good reason without a script, because taking too much of it would actually be dangerous.
Right.
On the other hand, we've mentioned in previous shows that many of the studies which did not yield beneficial effects, for example, beneficial metabolic effects with supplementation with vitamin D3, that similar studies conducted with the active form did produce, for example, weight loss or increases in insulin sensitivity.
Right.
So this puts another emphasis on the importance of the cytochrome enzyme cascade, which is responsible for the interconversion of these different versions of vitamin D. And there is a specific enzyme that has been researched in this particular study, which converts the vitamin D via two steps to this active form of vitamin D without toxic effects. So this active form does not have the toxic effects, but it is different from the normal active form we have hitherto always thought about being the main activator of the vitamin D receptor.
And what is that enzyme?
Well, it has one of those cryptic numbers.
Oh.
It's a member of the cytochrome.
Oh, family. It's a P450 cascade.
Yeah.
Do you happen to know where it falls in between? Is it what its number is, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, it's 11A1.
11 a.m. Oh, so it's really early in the stream. Okay.
It's pretty early, yeah. And it's interesting that it's also involved in most of the other transformations vitamin D3 will undergo. So the scientists aren't really sure what regulates the synthesis of this particular form of vitamin D, and therefore they cannot really predict if there is a natural way of boosting, for example, this particular form, or of favoring the production of this particular form over another. But if you look at the cascade, you will see that, for example, the ingestion of vitamin D2, there is no path for vitamin D2 to be converted to this active form of vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another evidence that supplementation with D2 is probably not the way to go if you want to see any beneficial downstream effects aside from calcium metabolism, where actually some studies suggest that vitamin D2 is almost equipotent to D3.
Interestingly enough, a cursory review, which means an idiot's Google search, of this particular 11A1 enzyme, its initial discussion is it's a mitochondrial enzyme associated with the conversion of cholesterol to pregnenolone, important conversion for proper hormonal cascade beginnings. Interesting. Really, really interesting. I wonder if there's a linkage between deficiency in this enzyme, inability to convert vitamin D to its active form, and age-related hormonal cessation.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Could also be to cholesterol metabolism in general.
Yeah.
And the downstream cascade.
And dyslipidemia. I mean, wow, this is really, really intriguing. Interesting.
And what's also interesting is that many of the things we eat, and specifically of the supplements we take, have a downstream effect on the cytochrome cascade. And sometimes the beneficial as well as the negative side effects are not really due to what the compound itself does, but rather due to its being metabolized by a certain part of this cascade, and thus blocking the another molecule is metabolized. So God knows what we are ingesting that blocks the metabolization, the conversion of vitamin D, so that we are all deficient, which is, by the way, not the case. Only 2 days ago or so, a study was published which showed that in China, in urban areas, not outside somewhere in the villages, but in the urban areas in China, almost 70% of the adults had normal levels, and 10% were even in the high range where you are supposed to get all those benefits on cancer and other pathologies. So it's by no means a given fact that you are vitamin D deficient just because you read it all over the internet. So tests now cost about, I think I've read recently that in the U.S., you can have them for $20 or so.
$15, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so why not invest that money first and see where you're at? Also, because otherwise, maybe you are supplementing and don't get adequate blood levels of vitamin D.
Well, interestingly enough, this particular protein responsible for this enzyme resides in the mitochondrial membrane. And if we think for a moment about a recent Subversity post about getting in shape or fitness and mitochondrial biogenesis function and size, didn't you just post something about that recently?
Yeah, that general fitness is associated with more stable and more efficient mitochondrial.
Right, and also more mitochondrial, according to Aubrey de Grey, who came on my show, who is the considered one of the foremost thinkers in longevity. He implicates exercises increasing mitochondria biogenesis in size. And he says that's a bad thing because of its oxidative stress on the body, because obviously it produces more free radicals the more mitochondria you have, which, you know, doesn't sound to me like the reason you shouldn't want more mitochondria, but that's his thinking. And so doesn't it stand to reason that if this protein resides in the membrane of the mitochondria, that the more mitochondria you have, the larger your mitochondria are, because that means there's more membrane to each one of them, and the more efficient that they are, that could potentially influence the conversion of vitamin D to the active form?
Could be, yeah. On the other hand, it's not quite one of the problems I really have with all the vitamin D research is that we are always looking at the storage form and not at the downstream outcomes.
Right.
And actually, we would have to really look at those, because I've mentioned before, you could also make an argument that you are not vitamin D3 deficient, but that you are so efficient in converting the vitamin D3 to its highly beneficial active forms that you don't need those amounts and you don't have those high amounts of vitamin D3 floating around in your blood.
Because the body is compensating by excreting more of it.
Either by excreting more of it or by just not producing as much of it because it does not need so much,
okay,
because it's converting it more efficiently. So this is one question which is hardly addressed, and I hope that the findings of more and more of these beneficial auxiliary types of vitamin D3 or vitamin D in general, which obviously have all their individual effects, will really propel the insights we have on a mechanistic basis, and not just on an epidemiological observational basis on what vitamin D actually does, on how much you need, and on where it acts and where which form of it is acting.
Right.
This reminds me of the inactive form of thyroid hormone T2, of which we know at least that the 3-5 version of it actually is a natural metabolite that is produced from the active form T3 in the cell later on,
right,
and stimulates an thermogenic response, especially in the liver and in skeletal muscle. So this is the same as you've just mentioned for vitamin D, which is converted, so to say, in the mitochondria to various forms as the body obviously needs it.
Yeah, great point. Good show. Great discussion. We've come to the end. We've actually gone a half hour, 36 minutes over, but all of this was very, very important stuff. Adele, thank you so much for all the hard work that you put into this.
You're welcome. I hope people enjoyed the show, and you're always welcome to submit additional questions for the next installment.
Yeah, please. Post it on Adele's wall or my wall, a Facebook page, Superhuman Radio Network Facebook page, and we'll get them answered next week. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Thank you, Adele. And thanks to everybody that listened today. Thank you to Coach Wade Johnson and, of course, Rob Regish. Hope everything turned out okay. We'll see you tomorrow with Casual Friday.
Superheroes, this is the Superhuman Channel.